Welcome to the Refuge Podcast, where we cultivate our faith in the shelter of God's Word. I'm your host, Jennifer Elwood. We are continuing on our journey to find rest in Christ, and I'm so glad my next guest, Beth Hildebrand, is here to talk about this. She wrote a beautiful book, The Art of Struggling, Finding Hope When It Feels Like Your World's Falling Apart, that is full of Jesus, and of course, restful thoughts and bonus art projects. I hope you'll enjoy our conversation as much as I did. Welcome, everyone. And I am so excited to introduce you to my friend, Beth Hildebrand. She and I met at Flourish Writers a few years ago now. We were assigned to the same mastermind group, and our group is still meeting pretty regularly. And so I get to talk to Beth all the time about all the book stuff. And I have had the pleasure of getting to watch this come to life, which is just an absolutely beautiful book that I am super excited to talk to you about today. So welcome to the show, Beth.
Thanks, Jenny. I am glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. Well, as I started reading your book, I started thinking like, wow, you really have so much in here that is restful feeling to me. And I'm like, I have to interview you, not just a Facebook Live, not just a cute little buy this book, but like dive in a little bit deeper, because you tell this story of yourself and some of the things that you've been through that have shown you this need for rest in your book. Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, the art of struggling. So what are the struggles in your life that pointed to your need to write this book for other people?
Well, mine started back several years ago when I found out that I had to have brain surgery. I was having little seizures because there were a lot of capillaries twisted around a vein in my brain, causing me to have those episodes. So in result of that, the two biggest takeaways from that were I lost a good portion of my vision, my peripheral vision. And then I have also had several bouts of depression that I have lived through. And so back in 2016, that year started a round of struggling with depression. And usually the ones that I had lasted maybe, you know, several months, but this went on for a couple of years. And so I was just very distraught. So I had had a relationship with Jesus for so long, and, you know, everything was great in our relationship. And I was very active in church, and I had a blog that I was writing on and talking about joy. And it was bam. I mean, I had never felt abandoned from the Lord before until those years. And I never thought I would. And it got to the point where I began to learn the hard way that God, even if we don't feel his presence, he is still with us, even if we don't feel it. We've got to base it on the truth that we know. But so all of that to say, you know, why wasn't God answering my prayers? And after being the stubborn person that I am, finally, God helped. And I went to the doctor, and I was given some medicine, and I went to counseling, and, you know, God used those as ways to minister to me and to heal me. Cause I prayed for healing for so long, and that prayer wasn't answered. And finally I just said, okay, well, if you're not going to answer my prayers, Lord, I'm just going to go to the doctor. When that's how stubborn I am, you know, because God uses doctors
and all the time,
counselors to do the healing through. So anyway, all that to say, I think that God allowed that to happen for me to be able to write this book. And I can look back now and see that. So,
oh, what a gift to be able to look back in hindsight and see that he used all of that to help you and help others too, really be able to sort out how to trust him and that it isn't on our own.
Right.
And sometimes, yeah, you know what? God will just miraculously show up and boom, it's gone. And I've heard these stories, but more often I hear about people having to dig in and do the hard work and the uncovering and the feelings that we don't want to feel in order to have the healing come. And that's usually with help from other people for sure. Yeah. So I want to walk through a couple of specific chapters in your book that really felt particularly restful to me. And the first one is chapter 4, which is I'm anxious.
Yes.
And you start off with Psalm 91, which, you know, I kind of love. It might be, you know, the crux of my whole ministry, whatever. And then the story that followed illuminated the anxiety experienced one time that came out at yelling at a news anchor. And I'm like, oh, I can relate to that.
Yes.
And you mention how you use Psalm 91 to calm your anxiety. So can you tell us more about drawing on scripture to help you?
Oh gosh, yes. It is so helpful, and just like an oasis to be able to go to. And a lot of times, you know, when I'm extremely anxious or stressed, you know, even if I just read through them and I don't feel anything from it, I'm just like, I'm still going to read it because I need to be reminded about that. And so it's very encouraging, you know, just to know that, you know, even back when it was written, you know, they were going through stress and anxiety and those same feelings that we were. But was, you know, David was able to write that psalm and find comfort in that. And that is the comfort that the Lord provides when we, you know, long to be in his word and to be in his presence as we read.
Absolutely. And at the end of your chapter, I love this quote. It says, let's hold on to the truth that Jesus understands us, is there for us, and provides us with what we need. And I think that just really sums it up, especially when we're dealing with all these, you know, really hard places in life, some that are within our realm of control, but a bunch that really aren't.
Right.
And knowing that there is truth for us, whether we caused it for ourselves or not.
Right.
In these hard things that we're going through. Mm-hmm. But he is really there to provide what we need. And
he understands. And when I just think about that, like Jesus, especially when he was hours away from being arrested, and he was in the garden praying, and, you know, it says in the Bible that he was distressed and troubled, and that isn't even come close. That's just a glimpse of his feelings, not only, you know, just the physical thoughts that he'd seen someone crucified, he'd seen someone flogged and persecuted, and he, I would think, knew that that was about to happen to him, much less being sinless and also knowing that he was about to experience not just one sin, but all of our sins, and just the weight of that and the different emotions and the anxiety and all of those emotions and feelings that he was going through. If he could go through that, then I think he can understand us when we go through our own. So
yes, he and his word are our perfect counselor.
Right, for sure. And
granted, sometimes those words need to come through us through an actual person also reading them and speaking them to us and over us and praying for us and all of that stuff. But right, really right. It begins and ends with his word. And yes, I just love that.
I do too.
So, and I love too, I didn't realize I was going to ask you this today, but I'm just going to ask you. I love the art. I love that you have an art, little art project or some kind of activity that you recommend for each chapter that kind of helps bring it into like a multimedia sensory situation, which I love. I know my book had pictures and worship recommendations and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh man, I want to write one someday that has art recommendations. This is so good.
Yeah.
And you talked about looking up a picture of the thinker.
Yes, that was one for me to remember. Instead, like when I get anxious or stressed, that I can go and remember that phrase. It's, you know, I believe it's Ephesians 2, and how I want to think, like the artist who did the sculpture of the thinker, that when I become anxious and worried and doubting or, you know, depressed or whatever, that I have those words to think about his truth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So I want to walk through one more chapter of your book. And this one is chapter 26, which is titled He Cares. And the first line of your story made me laugh out loud as you described your appearance as a Klingon.
I should have like sent you the picture I took of myself so you could show it here. Although I don't want people to see what I look like. I really did look like one.
But I will say that it very quickly turned to very grave concern, because then you're like, my friend then said I should go to the ER right now because all of a sudden I was getting shingles.
Like, yes.
What?
Right. And I was in my early 30s, and I'm like, that happens to older people. What's right. This?
Right. But it seemed like, you know, maybe the stress of being in your mid-30s and in the midst of kids, and I'm right. Assuming that's when around the time you had preteens, teenagers, right? And that this stress compromised your immune system, and this was like the consequence of it.
Exactly. That's what it was. I mean, when I was laying there in the emergency room, the doctor said, you know, are you stressed? And I'm like, well, how did he know? And he says, because stress is the main cause one of the main causes to lower your immune system. And so oftentimes the cause of shingles is due to stress. Yeah. I learned that lesson well.
Oh my God. Now, yeah.
Yes. It's very painful. I will say that.
I can only imagine if it makes you start to look like a Klingon, like in a flash. I feel like that kind of transformation of your face would just hurt so much.
It was
like Harry Potter drinking polyjuice potion or something. Like, it just sounds absolutely miserable.
It was.
If at that point, and in this chapter, you like are directly talking about the importance of rest.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about how this realization for rest came about and what you did differently from this point to make sure you had the rest you needed.
Right. Well, all the things that had been going on the previous months before I got shingles, I had gotten a card actually a week after I had shingles from a woman who said that she would be praying for me during this time of enforced rest.
Oh man.
I was just like, oh yes it is. And because God will allow things like that to happen, if we're gonna not listen and obey, then sometimes there's consequences, like we do with raising, you know, children. And it wasn't necessarily a punishment, but it really taught me the importance of rest, because for the next, you know, 2-3 weeks, I was really out of commission. And so, you know, it was a good time for me to be able to reflect and look back on what I had been doing and what I had not been doing. Mm-hmm. And so that brought me to, you know, look throughout scripture about rest and Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And how from the very beginning, God commands, and I mean, he gave us an example of how to live, that every 6 days, you know, the seventh day, you are to rest. I mean, it's a command like the Ten Commandments. It's that important. And it goes back all the way to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason God is very rhythmical. He, you know, we have day and night, we have seasons, we have years. I mean, it's just the way that we are structured is with a rhythm. And so when we ignore that, and we ignore that instruction that God gives us, then sometimes there's consequences.
Absolutely. Summer is nearly here, and I'm so excited to announce a resource I created to bring a bit of rest to your summer reading time. I've created a rest-focused Spotify playlist and printable bookmarks that have scripture on one side and a prayer for rest on the other. It's an easy way to remind you of Christ's rest this season. So check out the link in the show notes for this fun resource. So I would imagine that after that happened, that your body, you knew your body needed to rest and you were doing that, but it probably took a while, because I know it would for me, for your mind to catch up.
Oh, for sure. Because even, you know, in the busyness and all the things going on in my life prior to getting shingles, you know, I was so busy that God was, and my quiet time was put to the side. It was put on the back burner. And so I wasn't, you know, praying. I wasn't spending time in the word. I wasn't practicing Sabbath. And so it was an opening for me to be able to realize, okay, I kind of see now the reason for that, because mm-hmm. when I'm not making that time happen in my routine, then, you know, obviously things don't turn out as well. And I feel like I'm a better person physically, spiritually, raising a family, you know, communicating with others. I just feel better when I practice that physically, you know, and spiritually, mm-hmm. because, you know, we are to rest in God's word. And that is all throughout scripture. And that means that we, you know, we might still have a lot to do on our calendars, but if we can at least still set a little bit of time every day just to rest in his presence, just to be reminded daily or a few times daily, you know, that he is there with us and that he is in control and that, you know, we can trust him. It's just, it's a gift that we have that so often we take for granted, or we just don't even open.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I feel like I have gone through so many seasons where I just wasn't in the Word really at all, or that I was in the Word, but I really wasn't getting a lot out of it. I wasn't really praying and asking God to really like fill me and give me insight as I studied even. But now, like, I've gotten some rhythms in place that even though things are busy, even though there's a, you know, a schedule that's, you know, pretty full that I really have to be careful of.
Right.
I take Sunday. I don't open my email. I do not get on social media. I will text people if I know that I am going to get together with them, because that is my social rest for that day. But I shut it off. Right. And it is so good.
Well, I think it's just a blessing how, you know, we do have one day a week that we are just to turn things off and just to rest. But throughout the busyness of the other days, you know, we still are able to rest in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gets us through until we can, you know, rest a little extra one day of the week. So
yes. So right now in the season you're in, what is your favorite restful activity?
You know, I just, because my book, but I enjoy doing art. And I went so long without doing any of it, but it's a time of worship for me. I like to put on whatever my favorite musics are, you know, worship songs, and I get out my art supplies and, you know, just whatever I feel like doodling, or I see some pretty image I saw on social media, I was like, oh, I just want to draw that or paint that, or, you know, just doodling. I really enjoyed that in my free time, even though I'm doing something. I mean,
yes,
that's okay, because I mean,
it is okay.
Yes, taking a nap is a good way to rest, but also enjoying time with your family, doing a puzzle or going on a walk and looking around at nature, at the beautiful things going on that God has created, or, you know, having a sit down family meal, because with busy schedules, that's not always easy. Or just doing a hobby that you enjoy that just kind of recharges you.
Yes. I feel like often rest almost in what kind of seems weird, because we think so much like rest equals sleep, but I feel like that's not true. And that often rest is an active choice.
Yes.
Because otherwise we would maybe pick some other activity that wouldn't really fill us up.
Right.
Or we would, because like you can get too much sleep and feel horrible, right?
Right. Exactly.
So I know I've talked about this on, you know, some of the other episodes in this season too. And I feel like a lot of people are just kind of coming to this same like understanding of that we really need to, while we need to rest our body, there's a lot of other ways of resting that might not look like, and it might not look like resting between one person and another. Like my husband, bless his little heart, on Sundays, he's like, we should just do nothing. And I'm thinking, what does that mean to you? Because going to my favorite restaurant that has outdoor seating for 2 hours to just enjoy a meal and let the kids play in the grass is one of my favorite restful activities. And I guess for him, that's doing something. But for me, it is typically connecting with my sister, my niece, my kids, watching them play, just having an enjoyable time. Mm-hmm. And so what you may think is restful may not be to someone else. And I'm like, You don't have to go if you don't want to, because you recharge at home all by yourself.
And you'd be getting the rest you like.
Yes, you get the rest you like. I get the rest I like. But realize that this is restful for me, even though it's not for you. Like, you know, and there's a lot of negotiation in there, I think. Right. But understanding what our needs are just, you know, helps us to be able to kind of tell our time where to go.
Right.
But
that is true.
And being willing to pivot as well when, you know, we have something, even if it is a, you know, a restful 2 hours at a, you know, an outdoor beautiful place. Mm-hmm. If what we really need to do is to shut the blinds and close our eyes for a few hours instead, that's right. It too.
That is true. Very true.
Well, Beth, this has been so good.
Oh, I've really enjoyed it.
Good.
I always enjoy time with you, Jenny.
Oh, I always enjoy time with you too. And I can't wait to meet you someday in person.
I know.
Darn it.
Hopefully this fall, maybe sometime.
Maybe. I hope that we can figure out something. At any rate, please tell everyone where they can follow along with you. I know you're starting to do some time-lapse art.
I am.
On your Instagram. You can
put that on Instagram or Facebook. So you could look up Beth N. Hildebrand or Beth Hildebrand author. And you need to know how to spell it. You just need to purchase a book so you can look that up.
And if you're also listening on
that
audio,
information is in the back of the book.
Yes, and it's all in the show notes as well.
That's right. That's good.
Yes. And your website is it Beth?
It is BethHildebrand.com. And there you can get a link to Amazon to purchase the book. I also, you know, have my posts from Instagram appear on at the bottom of my site. And then I also have a blog portion where things that go into my blog as newsletters and things like that are in there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the Refuge podcast with me.
Oh, well, it's a joy. Thank you, Jenny.
Many thanks to Beth for walking us through her journey of discovery, pointing to her need for daily rest and Sabbath rest. I hope that as the summer progresses, we all remember to open the gift of Sabbath, a longer period of rest focused on Christ. May this rhythm of rest help us become more peaceful individuals. Don't forget to head to the show notes to grab the links for Beth's book and my new rest-focused resource. Thanks for hanging out with us. You've been listening to the Refuge Podcast, where we cultivate our faith in the shelter of God's Word.